Welcome back to Advice. Today we're with Fox Black, with Gadget Boy out of Columbia, South Carolina. I'm also joined by Dave Teller, Director of Digital Marketing for Wit Group, and I'm your host, Josh Mangum. Let's jump in. Fox, tell us about Gadget Boy.
Of course. So Gadget Boy is a retail and repair boutique electronics brick and mortar on Divine Street, Columbia, South Carolina. So the one thing that we try to focus on over there is the retail side of technology and also the repair side of technology. I would say that we mainly focus on a repair side of it. So that can range from phones to computers to building computers to laptops, your everyday electronics such as smart home devices, that kind of stuff. Okay. My company also doubles as a manufacturer as well. So I actually design a lot of our technology as well. So it's a little difficult to try to describe, but I basically build blueprints and molds for laptops. Charging banks is a big one. Headphones and like power bricks, something that can, you know, be a hub for all of your technology to charge on.
Okay. So when we need cameras and stuff for the podcast studio, that I'm talking to you.
Definitely something. Yeah, most definitely. I have a great relationship with all of my manufacturers when it comes down to the retail side of things. Mm-hmm. So if there is anything that you are looking for in particular, I can most likely get the best price and, you know, get it in a relatively short amount of time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sold. So let's talk. Yeah, that is cool. So let's talk advertising, right? And more broad than strictly advertising, just kind of marketing in general. What's been working? What's worked in the past? What's maybe changing, working differently than it used to? What's worked well, and where are you maybe seeing some struggles?
Yeah, of course. Well, I will definitely be the first one to say that I was struggling well before I took over a tech company. So, you know, I do the same selfie every day, you know, on my own personal. But when it came down to figuring out what the right sort of social media was for me, I really had to get into the nitty gritty. Do we want to be professional? Do we want to, you know, kind of stick with jokes? You know, do we want to be a destination spot? What are we selling? So really when I focused on my social media earlier on, when I didn't know what I was doing, it was really just a kitchen sink of everything. You know, a lot of drone fly-throughs, a lot of just random stuff, and no one really knew what we did. So the main struggle of it was, if we're advertising to a wall and we don't have any followers, you know, what's the point? So one thing that I ended up changing, and I started working with a company called One-to-One Consulting, and they gave me some input on what to actually kind of focus on. And that's mainly the brand recognition of it all. Mm-hmm. So we have them working towards making the more professional posts and advertising and commercials. And that was definitely where we started getting our follower base. That's definitely where we started getting it. And then I mainly focused on the memes, shitposting of it all. So, you know, things that probably just don't make a lot of sense, but, you know, kind of relatable. And we started making commercials. That's where I found the strength with it is. The one thing that is difficult for me is the outreach of finding the follower base. Everyone can know where the location is, but, you know, there's a difficult level of there's difficulties when it moves forward to a certain point of when I can't really feel like I'm doing everything that I should be doing. But, you know, I just don't have the knowledge base to actually, you know, figure out where I need to gear it more towards. I can make the content, but it's getting it out to people. TikTok, you know, Facebook, you know, all that stuff goes over my head, so I can throw a bunch of B-reel, you know, into a folder and then send it off. And hopefully that, you know, that's good. But really, it's the everyday stuff that we're struggling with. I want there to be filming, you know, of what I'm taking apart, for instance, or my head techs are doing, you know, having this, for instance, you know, just everyday stuff. So when it comes down to difficulties, there are a lot more of them with advertising that I, because the whole point is to get it and get the word out. So, you know, trying to get the word out is the hardest part, especially when I'm trying to more gear towards, you know, USC and, you know, Dreher High School and the Midlands Tech, you know, which I work very closely with, you know, so it's difficult to get the word out in general, but we can make the content. So yeah, it's definitely a difficulty of it.
Okay.
Getting those kinds of clients, it's where the social stuff's becoming a lot more important. Even if you're marketing to a wall, there's going to be people who check in on you, and it's just that credibility of the company and just kind of the character of the company. And that's where those bigger like contracts or things like that, they're going to check your socials.
Yeah, the validation side.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of like there's value on both sides of that pendulum, right? There's getting in front of people and building a following, and then there's locking down business. You said you were looking at some larger organizations, schools, and whatnot.
Absolutely,
I'm sure
yeah.
that's something that
You're gonna
they're
venue.
consider as well. Tell us about that. You said you partnered up with was it Midlands Tech?
Yeah, so the Midlands Technical College, they have a few different locations here in the city. So basically what I part of my guerrilla marketing campaign before I, even consulted a marketing agency was just going out there, just face-to-face interaction, really just selling every first. I started with everyone on my strip, and then I said, all right, what are my target clients? Who does this apply to? And the good news about having a tech company that repairs stuff is that's everyone. So it's literally everyone. So I actually ended up kind of looking into some cheaper ways of getting potential help. And so with Midlands Tech being a very, very large supporter of us very early on. So basically the way that it works is we do a 6-week program to where we can take the young adults who are still going through and they can use it as community service hours to get college credit. And then we'll teach them the ways of what we do. And most of the time they tend to not really want to leave. So we've hired two of them and they're definitely, your very, very hardcore nerds. But we also have to teach them how to see, like one of my so I'll be the first one to say that, like at my tech company, I don't actually take apart a lot of stuff anymore. It's actually my head tech. I got a whole team of people that will do that for me. I try to play at my strengths when it comes down to people. I can do the marketing, I can do the, face-to-face contact, networking, all that stuff. So that's more what my that's more what I would try to teach them, whereas my head tech would just, teach them how to actually run the day-to-day operations type stuff.
Yeah, imagine there's not really like a school for this.
Yeah,
And
no, I mean,
you have to
it's
apprentice in some way.
exactly.
And
So
it's the same way with us, with the marketing agency, with like SEO. It, somebody comes to me and they say, "Well, I've got my SEO certification," and I'm just kind of, "Oh no,
Sure. Like,
oh
yeah.
man, you've wasted some money."
I mean, what this reminds me of is like when we were in high school, and that was when the build your own computer craze was really kicking off, the early 2000s kind of.
You're aging us, Dave.
Yeah. But so I grew up in that community, and I grew up with people who were doing like the trade kind of stuff. And like even at 18, they were building computers for companies or doing networks. What surprised me though was when I got into my late 20s and I was meeting people my age who couldn't work a computer at all,
Oh,
let
yeah.
alone work, actually open it up and like fix something. Like there is a really big moat between tech nerds and day-to-day like computer users, and it's, I didn't realize that was even in our generation. So the other thing I was gonna say, like your work with the school, I feel like IT, how like chefs became the rock stars of the food industry? I think IT is gonna be the rock stars of
Absolutely.
of the tech industry.
Yeah, and it's so funny because, as tech gets further along and it gets more user friendly, because I always prefer I'll prefer analog over digital any day. I prefer technology that's, probably in the early 2000s, I think it was a little bit more user friendly. But, now I run into something where it's so simplified that it's confusing to me. So, I assume there's more steps,
Sounds like my phone.
getting something. So that actually is a good segue into another program that we do focus on as well, and that's a community outreach program where we do Gadget Boy University. We actually do go out and we will run classes. We work a lot with the Midlands Gaming Coalition, but also with retirement homes or even doing things at the Peacewise Coffee Shop right next to our shop, where we will just kind of teach you how to do pretty basic stuff or just whatever you're trying to learn how to do. I mean, I can't tell you how many USC college professors come in there and say I'm out of storage, but they haven't, deleted anything out of their iCloud and, since, 2008, So it's definitely something that I am very well aware of, but as it progresses with me as well, even when I'm designing technology, because I make laptops, I really do just try to make it very visually user friendly. That's kind of what I try to go for.
So let's get into just some struggles, right? Some obstacles. Yeah, that's the whole point of the show. We try to help you kind of figure out from an advertising perspective, maybe a couple options that might help you out a little bit.
Of
So
course.
where's the big struggle?
Yeah, big struggle is my main one that I've been focusing on this month in particular is just getting back in, getting into the USC, getting into the college stuff, and advertising in the correct way to do that. One thing about, a lot of times being a young working professional and an owner, you don't really think about this stuff until you get into that position, but no one's going to ever tell you what to do. So you got to do it yourself. So I think that that's where it really comes in. And I'm it's easy to have ideas, but execution is something completely entirely different. So that's where I need a team, of my one-to-one consulting, my WIT group, to actually see what that even looks like and you point, I shoot type of deal. So USC definitely, and just letting people know that we're there, and exactly what we do, with not a long-winded conversation, just a Google search.
So, I mean, we've got this objective-based marketing strategy that we try to kind of use to tackle problems. We start with the objective, right? We start at the end. So the end goal is what? Like paint and real quickly, just paint your perfect scenario. What's going on? And then let's work backwards to figure out how to try to get there.
Yeah, of course. So the best, I mean, in a perfect world, every computer that breaks down, either whether it's owned by USC or USC students, I'm just going to use USC as an example because that's mainly like a hyper focus on that one. So they automatically know where to go, automatically know where to go. And they don't need to go to, they don't, they would automatically have the, know the brand recognition of a local company and also, but from another perspective of the school automatically knows where to go too. I mean, I'm the first contact and maybe the third and fourth as well.
That's hugely valuable.
Yeah, of course.
So kind of like a preferred vendor situation.
Absolutely.
And then you're hoping that building some kind of equity with them by performing these services, doing these talks, educating, that's going to solidify the relationship. I hope so too. I mean, I would hope that that would work,
Yeah, of course. That's why
especially
this
as
has
you're
been.
sharing your knowledge and your experience with faculty, with staff, with the students, then you're going to build that relationship. So yeah, I think that's a good avenue, as well as networking and continuing to build relationships with the people over there that would make those types of decisions.
Yeah, and that's definitely where it can go. I mean, that can also be manipulated into any company. So the one, so a struggle that I was kind of dealing with was, I can meet business owners all day. I mean, I do a lot of networking, but one time sale, it's great. One time repair, it's also great. So really honing in on what does it look like. And I have a few things in my mind that I've implemented to kind of guarantee that we can get the reoccurring,
So I was kind of thinking this was like it's kind of two different angles because there's the getting organizations like USC, and then there's the more community or retail kind of focus of people recognizing your brand. It brings me back to thinking of like real estate brokerages. They're all independent workers. They all own their own technology. They all, not all, a lot of them are not super gadget friendly, but they use it all day, every day. And as soon as it breaks, it's a problem. Nine times out of 10, that's not true. Half the time, it's go on Google, find you online. The other half of the time, it's they're asking other people in the office, where'd you go get your computer fixed? So, and I think brokerages would be a good opportunity for you to find good word of mouth for people who are willing to pay when their technology breaks,
I
and
just
just
had
willing to go.
a question, maybe an idea. When people come in to fix things, out of 10 times, how often have they tried to Google it themselves? Not to Google to find you, but to Google to figure out how to fix the problem first.
Easily, probably a good 8 out of 10. Easily. I mean, I can always tell when there's,
Someone tried to.
yeah, when there's fingers that have already been in, trying to, mess with it. So.
I think that's from a validation standpoint, from a kind of branding the business as kind of the direction you want to go is capturing some of those videos, getting those up on the internet, optimized and easy to find.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah,
Yeah, and
that's a
just
good idea.
right. If I come across your video and you help me fix a problem, I love you. Right, good review, nice comment.
Exactly.
Hey, appreciate it. But also, if I come to the video and it seems like you know what you're doing, and I still can't fix the problem, I'm probably gonna just drive over and have you
Yeah,
fix it.
I mean, a hundred
So I
percent. I
like
mean,
that.
that's definitely how it, goes a lot of the time anyway.
Right,
So.
and I mean, you guys are fixing problems. So, like you, I think you had mentioned before we started this, you've got a head tech
Yes.
that is just really super talented.
Man, I mean, you know, he didn't focus on anything else in life,
yeah,
except for that.
So he's fixing these really probably unique and complex problems all the time. Like, do you have some kind of video on him?
Yeah. So okay. we dabble in the Meta glasses. They're the smart glasses, Ray-Bans, that you can first person. It's a great POV to where you can even get into it. They also have AI that you can hear while we're live streaming it, to where what sort of part would I need to fix this particular problem, and it'll just, you know, talk to him on the fly on it. So it's engaging content. Like, you know, it's also, you know, we do live streams like quite a bit, but you know, it's the normal people that like join up, the ones that are like, okay, you know, I'm here to help the algorithm. So yeah.
And then you also mentioned earlier about the office space that you have, or the retail space that you have, is a great environment to come down and test out the consoles, test out the technology, watch your team work.
Mm-hmm.
So walk me through a little bit more of that. Like,
yeah, of course. I mean, I will definitely say that when it was being in the design phase, I would push it more closely related to like an Apple store. Apple store in Colombia, you know, there's none of that, you know, and a lot of times when people walk in, they don't really realize that, that this isn't what they were expecting. A lot of high ceilings, you know, very nice woodwork and white, empty negative space that, you know, really fits the vibe of, you know, what Apple kind of has done in their retail shops.
Yeah.
So it's a boutique.
You don't see 47 phones up on the wall.
No. You'll see some stuff. Yeah. And I do try to keep, like, you know, my retail more as, you know, just like a placeholder than anything else, because I really can just source anything for anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been building these relationships for years. So it's definitely an easier to not really keep the retail necessarily in the store, except for my own products. Those are the ones that I really put the showcase on.
Which actually brings me to the question I was going to have, which was, how much of your business are you bringing in online and digital, phone call versus like walk-in?
Yeah. So I would definitely say that it's mainly a phone call thing. So that's when I see the preparedness. Now, Piecewise is, you know, the coffee shop right on Divine Street. It has a lot of foot traffic, tons of foot traffic. Now, we do get that. People do see it in there. So I have focused a little bit more of my physical merchandising towards, you know, their entrances. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, people normally call us, and most of the time people just think that we're just repair, which is totally fine, because when they come in, then they can see that we do retail. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I, you know, really try to focus on like the customer service aspect, to try to see what they actually want.
Yeah.
You know, I'll always develop a personal relationship before a business one, because in my experience so far, it always turns into a business one eventually.
Yeah. Are you keeping track of phone calls coming in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My conversion rate is, you know.
So you got all that on lock already?
Yeah.
Nice.
Of course. So like, I do have an idea of like what it does look like. And I do try to incentivize my employees as well to really try to, you know, because a repair can turn into a sale, can turn into a relationship, can turn into an opportunity to do this, for example. So,
Dave, just side note, from now on, we don't bring tech guys on. I know. No, they know too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're too advanced.
He's got everything buttoned up.
No. I keep coming back to the schools and trying to, it's kind of like in the sales world, you're whale hunting, right? You've done enough fishing and now you're ready for some whale hunting. From a validation, sales collateral standpoint, like, do you have strong collateral one pagers, PDFs to share everything like that?
I would say that's something that would need some good refreshing. So that kind of going back to what I was saying before, you know, when you're in charge, you kind of have to do everything yourself. And so I never want to assume that I know everything, never. And so also, not just with the schools and everything, I mean, I design this stuff as well. And, you know, bigger fish, like you're saying, whales, that is my main goal. That is technically, you know, the job that I took on. So large orders, such as like for the military, for the police force, you know, like the laptop that I designed would be perfect inside of a squad car. No idea. Like, couldn't even tell you how to, like, I can get in a room with these people, but I need to make sure they're the right people. Yeah. And, you know, I can talk, that's great. But advertising to that in particular, the only things I can really think of, you know, from my knowledge base of advertising, is just the guerrilla marketing. It's just going in there and then handing out a pamphlet. So really, the brand recognition is where I struggle with, I think, the most. I think it's just really getting the information out there, because we're still so new. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't rush that stuff. But, you know, when it comes down to SEO, like, right over my head. Like, you know, can't figure, I wouldn't be able to figure that stuff out without someone's help. So, yeah.
If But I think where Josh is going with the white papers and the one pagers is pretty much what you need for whale hunting, because it's not one hook and you're done. It's constant hooks. It's qualifying them. You drop off your pamphlet. Are they coming to your website? Are they downloading your resources? And that's where my piece of advice would be, you're already working with organizations similar to what you want to work with more of. Are they giving you reviews? Do you have case studies on them? This is more of a B2B sale, so this is going to be more of a business case study. But those kinds of materials where the next school can look and go, okay, there's a lot more trust here because he's already working with schools. They'll vouch for him. I don't have to worry as much about him being
Oh,
for
instant.
breakers.
You get one school and then they want to work with you. That first one
Yeah,
is
just
tough.
like hotels, they talk. That
Yeah,
makes
correct.
sense. Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
exactly.
I mean, that's definitely something that, haven't even touched on.
Yeah.
Like, that would definitely be like a very lucrative way of moving forward with that because, I'm a, in the trench. I want to get it done. I want to see what it looks like. But, that's just not necessarily how the digital age works, even though I'm in tech.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I got something, and Dave mentioned something that I like. He's, you're qualifying them, but while you're qualifying them, they're qualifying you every step of the way. So if they're looking at what you send to them, the messaging, the collateral, right? So you want to make sure you've got good assets to share with them, PDFs, videos, whatever it is, case studies, right? And then the examples of similar companies that you've worked with, gold. In the digital age, you can do this at mass, that guerrilla marketing at mass. There's a couple of different ways to do it. There's a lot of AI and automation and everything out there. In your particular case, it seems like we'd be able to kind of narrow down based on the type of company and the job title at that company. We'd be able to maybe kind of pinpoint some individuals, say, in a given geographic area that you'd be targeting, companies of a certain size, and then that IT director, or you pick maybe five or six different job titles, education, right? You can narrow it down by industry. So, LinkedIn is actually a very good platform for that. We do a lot of work with LinkedIn. Those message ads and the conversation ads, and then even just branding with the videos and the news feed, you can target very specifically based on those factors. I can't do anything for you based on they like this, they like that, they did this, they did that, but how long they've been in business, what their job title is, and where they work, great. So for your case, I might look into something like that where you automate some outreach, messages coming from you or coming from somebody on your team, and then delivering those assets if possible, just to see if you can't get a look, maybe get a little bite, a little nibble.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like,
Yeah.
they call that like, like the 99 slaps. It's just like when you're asking someone to prom, you go through 99 people, they
Yeah.
slap you, but one of them says yeah. So, that makes sense. I mean, like, doing like an email type thing or, the outreach. That makes
And
sense.
we'll try to mitigate the slaps, maybe get you a couple slaps and a lot of no's. That's fine too.
Then there's the other
Yeah,
way of thinking about it. Instead of going to 99 people and getting 99 different slaps, just get slapped 99 times from the same person, which would be the remarketing side. So Josh is talking about more the discovery and listen, that
getting
makes
more of the
sense.
inbound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the B2B, I mean, how many touches are you looking at before you're getting a serious
Yeah.
sit-down sales phone call? You could be looking at double digit, like 10, 20 touches before you're getting a real sales conversation with these people. So look at the remarketing strategy, look at your contact lists, and how well are you understanding your own pipeline? Where is your fall off?
Yeah.
If it's initial contact and you got nothing past that, then that's where you need to focus your time. And just keep plugging those holes until your pipeline flows smoothly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last piece of that is once you've impressed them, once they're interested, they go around and we come back to that validation stuff. You mentioned I think earlier or maybe before we started talking, but something about just kind of shit posting,
Yeah.
trying to get the social media out there. Sometimes you got to look at that too, and you got to say, okay, I'm getting in front of USC. When they go look at this without knowing me, what do they see? And you got to start Googling yourself a little bit and see what comes up. Because sometimes, we had to do it a couple years ago when we first started. We were much different, a little edgier
Yeah, a
with
little
our content than
edgier.
we are
Yeah,
now.
of course.
And we had this one video where we were just being so just smart asses. And I loved it. I've still got it saved in the
It's cool.
drive,
There's.
but I'm like, I got to make this a unlisted video right now because I don't want people, we're going after Fortune 500s. I don't want them to see because we were goofing off, but they don't know us from Adam, right?
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, I mean that's also another good way to look at it. It's something that I kind of just assumed would appeal, but really when I think about spreading the company in different areas, I mean it's really lucrative to make sure that you have the right type of content.
Yeah.
And it's been an experiment, that's for sure. I mean, the whole thing is a kitchen sink. I mean, you know, it's definitely, you know, coming together. But, you know, the advice that y'all have been giving, at least so far, on the more deeper levels of what my main goals are, that's what I would shift more towards in the long run. Because, you know, I worked for the NSA for 5 years, and the Air Force wouldn't want anything to do with my shit. Like, you know, they saw that stuff. I mean, they would think it was funny, but I wouldn't have thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, and it's never that, and especially nowadays. Nowadays, people are a little bit more understanding with stuff like that than maybe 20, 30 years ago. But still, so everybody answers to somebody, and they don't want the next person to go, "What's this crap? You know, who's this guy over here in Columbia, South Carolina? Yeah. Nuts on social media." So I think that's all you got to avoid is nobody wants to be looked at like they made a bad call because they didn't look hard enough into the business.
Exactly.
That most of it's irrelevant, like, you
know,
reality.
The demographic of, like, you know, I really do sit down a lot of nights and just kind of try to ponder, like, all right, what is, like, the actual demographic that I'm looking for? Like, you know, is it the college students? Is it the, you know, the people 40 or 50, like, plus that come through? I mean, it's the whole thing, really. So it just has to be very neutral with all of it. You know, we all in this room know how impactful social media is with young adults, and you know, that's the future. I mean, that's awesome, but, like, you know, is it really something that can appeal to Margaret and Joe Bob that live down the street, you know, that have been living in the same house for 45 years?
It's the old portfolio rule. You can have the prettiest portfolio ever, if you have one bad representation of your business, that's all they'll focus on. That's all they care about.
Which is tough in our business, because I hate every website that we did 5 years ago plus.
You gotta evolve.
Right. Well, they were great then. They're just, I look at them, I'm like, oh man, I need to redo that. But I loved it when I mean, it was great work when we finished it back then, or, you know, a lot of times it's great work for the budget. But you got to look at it that way too. It's like, well, what do other people see? They don't know that somebody came to me and said, like, hey, I got to slap this together in a week, and I got a shoestring budget. But yeah, perception's reality, I think, is what this is driving at.
But based on what you were just saying, I mean, I guess my recommendation off of that would be writing it out. Seriously, does help. Like, having it in your head is important, but start really writing it out, breaking it into your audiences and personas, breaking it into your outreach methods, and really start outlining what your approaches are. And then you can reevaluate your content strategy based on that.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, like, I really do need to start. I mean, I do try to think like this, but, like, you know, I'm still within my first fiscal year, you know, in my company. And it was there for about 7 months before I even took over, and it was in shambles. And so I really do try to think about it from a 5-year perspective. Like, what does it look like, you know, at that point? And, it, you know, I can almost guarantee it's going to be massively shifted so many times. But when it comes down to the advertising of it, really, what is it going to look like? And really writing it down would be exceptionally helpful. I do try to get as much of that down as possible. You know,
sometimes that strategy we were talking about can really help with that. Start with that end goal and then work backwards. Keeps you from going off into tangents. Because if you're just brainstorming about what can I do? I could do this. I could do that. I could do this. Well, half the things you just mentioned or wrote down probably don't
apply to,
that path to get to that objective. So start with the objective. Work backwards, you get your most efficient path, at least. And then you can start to kind of layer in the supporting actions.
And as a performance agency, we focus more on the brass tacks of it. Give yourself solid, specific goals, achievable goals, measurable goals. And 5 years is a great time span to look out, but give yourself 1 year goals, give yourself 3 or 6 month goals that are achievable and measurable. And then, again, like Josh was saying, go look back on all the stuff you're doing and ask yourself, is that working towards that goal? Is it this many phone calls a day or a month? Is it this many emails coming in? Whatever it is, are your efforts actually working towards a provable profit gaining?
Exactly. It's something that I can actually even see, you know, in a number. I mean, that's definitely great advice towards the longevity of where I do try to go. Something that I kind of tend to repeat in my head is that, you know, it doesn't, I don't want it to be done quickly. I want it to be done efficiently. So, you know, like 1%, you know, every day for 100 days is, like, you know, pretty, pretty good if you got it, you know, very, very evened out. But at the same time, you know, there's, I really do want to focus on how I go about each problem individually, but also as a whole. So when you're saying work from the back going in there, that's exactly like normally how I like try to, you know, view personal things and how I do personal, but it's always the brass tacks of where does it actually start with me? Because I have a, you know, I'm probably with 90% of the world, you know, where I just think about, oh my gosh, you know, I'd love to be president. But, you know, where the hell do you start?
Like, right.
You know, so it's, you know, every company has an idea guy. Every company has an idea guy. I do not try to be the idea guy, but I want to be. Like, you know,
that's the CEO mentality.
Hey, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Like,
that's when you start getting specialists to do all the other things like you did with your head tech.
Oh yeah. It's definitely I can't be the helmsman, the bosun, the spotter, and you know the right. You know the yeah, like it there's the right tool for the right job. So yep. You know, I and just finding that's a really big toolbox, man. Like, yeah. You know, I got to dig through. So
it's a lot of hats to wear, and then understanding how the technology that you're using helps. Mm-hmm. Like what softwares are you employing, that kind of thing.
I mean, that's the crazy part about, you know, it being 2025. It's just, you know, it's so strange how easy most of this stuff was, even in my lifetime. You know, I'm 31, but when I was in high mm-hmm. school, I mean, if I even had anything remotely towards what we had today, I mean, I would have never, like, gotten a bad grade. Yeah. No, but, you know, that's just, you know, how...
I don't know. How are they not on ChatGPT? Like, just... I mean, my son, I talked to him about this. I'm mm-hmm. like, hey, bud, that's cheating. But what you know,
mm-hmm.
is that what you do?
Very, very popular cellular company. I was a corporate recruiter. And right when AI started coming out and, you know, I would travel all around and I was toying around with it. And then I said for a week straight, just, you know, pretend like you're me. Like answer all my emails, do all this stuff. And oh man, I came in there at 7 a.m. one time and it had done everything, yeah. Everything. I was like, all right, I need challenge in my life. Like, you know, I can't have everything automated.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've made some progress. Anytime you need anything at all,
yeah.
Please email us, call us. Really enjoyed the time. Fox Black with Gadget Boy from Columbia, South Carolina. If you need anything tech, anything repaired or any advice when it comes to technology, definitely look these guys up. Gadget Boy in Columbia, South Carolina. Appreciate everybody sticking with us through the show.
Cheers.
Cheers.